Good morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church of Natick, it's my honor and blessing to welcome you all here this morning, as well as those who are worshiping with us online. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and no matter who you are or wherever you are on life's journey, be assured that you're welcome here. The usual announcements: we'll be lighting the Christ candle momentarily, and we invite those at home to get a candle to join with us. Prayer requests: I think that there are still little white cards in the pews. If you have a prayer request, write it on that, give it to an usher, and it will come forward. You can mail it to email, prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. Or you may text it to my cell phone at 978-790-8250. Am I the only one who thinks this is very loud? You think it's perfect? There it is. There's the pray ground over there that is occupied. Please feel free, regardless of your age, to go over and play with appropriate things, especially if you're the fidgety type or this service gets boring. You will notice around the sanctuary that there are 6 prayer stations based on the various encounters with Jesus that we're looking at over the course of Lent. Please feel free to come and spend some time with them during the week or even if during the worship service. If you would like to go over, that would be great. Sarah Lynn.
Good morning. I want to invite folks to come and hear more about West Virginia Work Camp. Oops, wrong one. Thank you. Today at 12:30 in the vestry, we're going to be gathering to see what kind of interest we have. This is a program for rising freshmen and above, so high school students and adults. And so if you're an adult and you've never gone, but you are curious and would like to hear more, come and hear more about this great trip. It has been transformational for so many youth and adults alike in our church. I won't go into it now, but we go to West Virginia to help to make homes warm, safe, and dry, and to be the living hands of Christ, showing the love that we have in the world. So definitely come and hear more about it. Tell your friends if you know some young people in the church who might be interested. We would love to talk to them a little bit more about it. Hope to see you then. Thanks.
We were talking about the announcements, and I said to Sarah Lynn, you know, if you do that one, you'll be much perkier than me. There it was.
Hello, I'm Chris Gentry, and I'm the coordinator for Family Promise for this congregation. Today, after service, before the West Virginia meeting, there will be a coffee hour chat about Family Promise, and we have a special guest with us today, Paula Brown. She's the volunteer and outreach coordinator for Family Promise, and she'll be giving an overview, and a few volunteers will also be sharing their experiences. So I hope you'll join us. It's going to be in the room right off the vestry during coffee hour. I'm not exactly sure after you get your coffee, but before the end of coffee hour. Okay, did everyone hear that? There are additional treats in that room during coffee hour.
The good ones.
The good ones. And Jeff knows because Jeff and Robin brought coffee hour today. Thank you.
Speaking of the Clausens, tomorrow night the 26th. Yes.
One more?
Just go for it, Jeff.
Oh, it's not there. So you have to come back next week to see the amazing slide for the Guatemala Partnership Report Back. It's next Sunday at 7 p.m. via Zoom. And you'll hear come to learn exciting stories about updates from our friends in Santa Maria Ceja, potable water, environmental conservation, and education, a lot of wonderful things that are going on in the community, and hear back from some of the members of our church that traveled down there, Sarah Lynn and Grace and others. So 7 p.m. via Zoom next Sunday, and the Zoom link is in the link, which comes out on Fridays. Thanks.
And Tuesdays. Let's now turn our attention to worship. Beth, are you talking?
Good morning. I'm speaking. We rehearsed this. Thank you. I'm speaking on behalf of the missions and outreach team. We are going to be collecting food for the mini pantry in 2 weeks, and so as part of Palm Sunday, we will march our food over to bring it over. The mini pantry is just across the way outside of the Common Street Spiritual Center. So as you're grocery shopping the next couple of weeks, you know, pick up some extra canned goods, look for those deals, and we would be grateful for anything you can contribute. Thank you.
Good job. I did that. I invited him up. Let's turn our attention to worship as we hear these words from Psalm 144. Womb of life. What is humanity that you even know them, or the woman born that you think of them? Humanity is like a breath whose days are like a passing shadow. Our sons in their youth are like plants, full grown. Our daughters are like cornerstones, cut for the building of a palace. Our barns are full from the produce of every kind. Our sheep have increased by thousands, many thousands in our surroundings. Our cattle are heavy. There is no breach in the walls, no exile, and no cry of distress in our surroundings. Happy are the people to whom such blessings fall. Happy are the people whose God is the womb of life. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Hilary Carlip says, faith is a tool of transformation and can shine the light on the inside, dispelling darkness, taking us through external layers, bringing us closer to our souls.
Please join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. Jesus had confidence in life after death. That confidence can be ours. He said, I am the resurrection and the light. We are strengthened in our faith by the mighty acts of Jesus. Please rise in body or spirit for hymn number 80, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Please be seated. I just interpreted Bill's confused look at me when I finished. I was supposed to lead us in the search team prayer that was written by a committed group of contemplative folks here. It's for the congregation as a whole during this time of search, as well as for the members of the search team, Janice, Maureen, Steve, Matt, and Miriam. And Lisa. Let us pray. Holy One, source of all life and love, sustainer of all that is and will be, with confidence in your abiding presence, we offer our imperfect selves. We place our open hearts and minds before you. Imbue us with your spirit to lead us beyond judgment, beyond fear, beyond the limits of our expectations and understanding. Help us to discern your guidance with trust, patience, and a willingness to embrace new horizons. We pray these things with gratitude for your extravagant love and life that show us the way. Amen.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, healing and empowering God, we are sometimes so sure that things will not work out, we doubt even your ability to put things right in our lives. We lack such faith. But Jesus came to show us that our most dreaded enemy, death, can be overcome by faith. Heal our doubts and our longings for assurance, and give us spirits of trust and hope. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. To set the mind on flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Trusting in the Spirit of God, let us confess our sin before God and each other, first in silence and then together. God, we confess that we are frightened by death. We have experienced the loss of loved ones and have heard all too often of the horrible losses sustained by the young people who live in lands of warfare and strife. Jesus' power to resurrect Lazarus confuses us. We long for that type of healing for our loved ones. And so, when their bodies cannot be healed and they die, we slip away from our faith, proclaiming that it is a nice story. Give us courage to face our fear. Give us awareness that you have offered to all those who have gone before a peace to help us to move away from the prison of death to the light of eternal life and hope. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Through darkness and death appear all around, there is the comforting, healing light of God's love shining on you and in you. Feel the warmth of the presence of God and let go of your fear, for God is with you. Thanks be to God.
The peace of Christ be with you. Let's take a moment and share that peace with one another. Peace to you. I didn't want to say it into my live mic. Peace be with you, Isla. It's time for the kids to go to Godly Play or Connect. I guess kids and anybody else who would like to go. The resurrection about which the choir just sang, and Lazarus' resurrection, about which we'll hear from Bill in a moment, are clearly the works of God. Only God can bring those about. Our offerings are public statements that we believe in the power of that resurrection to transform the world. Let's continue to worship God with our offerings. Please rise in body or spirit. Let's join together in prayer. Holy God, giver of life, we thank you for raising us up and joining us together as one people, your people, flesh and bones in the body of Christ. As you have delivered us from death, use our lives to proclaim the good news of new life to all we meet. Amen. Please be seated.
The Christian scripture comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, Already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." Then when he had said this, he cried out in a large voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with stripes of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
I'm willing to bet quite a bit, actually, that I'm not the only one here this morning that's more than familiar with, standing in the midst of that violent, volatile vortex of the if-onlys. You know what I mean. I'm sure of it. It could be something like this or a bunch of other things. If only I had made that phone call, we'd still be friends. If only I had gotten into the market when she did, we'd be living in the lap of luxury with no worries. If only I had noticed what was right before my very eyes all along, things wouldn't have imploded the way they did. If only I didn't have that last dozen Butterfingers. If only I'd asked for help, if only I took that risk, if only I knew then what I know now. Our if onlys, all of them, keep us bound. Keep us bound not only in the tombs of our past, our if-onlys keep us small. Our if-onlys keep us bound in the tombs of our own will and blinds us to God's will, not only for today, but for all the days to come. Rick Ripley will be happy about this, I'm sure, to remember that the scripture we heard Bill read was just the ending of a much longer story. What we heard was just the ending of the story in which Jesus raises Lazarus to new life, but it's just the ending of a much longer story about Jesus' healing ministry, a story about Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. Lazarus became ill. He was very ill, close to death, which prompted Mary and Martha to send for Jesus. When he finally arrived, she said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only you had been here." Then Jesus, greatly disturbed, it says, but we could probably come up with some other phrases. Then Jesus, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and there was a stone lying against it, and Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of Lazarus, said to him, "Lord, there's already a stench because he's been dead for 4 days." So they took away the stone. Jesus yelled, "Lazarus, come out!" And out he walked. no longer dead. His hands and his feet and his head were bound with strips of cloth. "Unbind him and let him go," Jesus yells at the end of the story. It's important for us to remember that the lesson we heard is just the ending of a much longer story. It might be what people remember, but it's part of a bigger story. Am I the only one here this morning that's familiar with standing right in the midst of that violent, volatile vortex of the if-onlys? How many of us here this morning, I'm wondering, are struggling with a debilitating case of the if-onlys? Like Martha and Mary mourning the loss of their brother Lazarus, some of us here might be wrestling with those kinds of thoughts. If only I'd asked for help sooner. If only Jesus had arrived earlier. If only, just as God was with Lazarus through all his years, God is with us through all our years. And God's here with us now. Just like Jesus at the mouth of Lazarus' death cave, God calls us to remove the stones of guilt and regret and resentment, and you are restored to wholeness. You are restored to wholeness from every single one of the if-onlys that have been keeping you bound in the tombs of your past. Our if-onlys that keep us bound in the tombs of our own will and blind us to God's will for our present and for our future. You are restored to wholeness. Restored. That is what God does. God helps us to roll away the stones and unbind ourselves that we may discover the new life that waits for us. Some people would say that God is love. True, but if God is love, then God is also forgiveness. They go hand in hand. You really can't have one without the other. You can't really love somebody authentically if you're not willing to forgive them. Siblings, we are right in the middle of Lent, the time when we might give something up or take something on as a spiritual practice. Lent is the time in the Christian year for deep, personal, honest reflection. A time when we look back over the past year and may end up with a serious case of if only. There are those of us, among us, who have been struggling with challenging health issues, employment issues, family, and other emotional issues. There are those of us who have been dealing with the everyday challenges of life. It's important for us to remember that whatever season of life we find ourselves, it's just part of a much longer story. A much longer story in which we sing, "Jesus loves us, this we know." And that is more than enough. Just as God's love freed Jesus and all those that loved him from all that bound them, that love can unbind you, too, if you let it. If you let that love in, if you let that restoration in, it's a free will offering from God with no requirements, obligations, or expectations. The question for us this morning is, will I accept it? As privileged, liberal, progressive, and most of all, independent New England Yankees who don't need nobody, will I accept that offering from God, that offering of restoration to wholeness? That is what God is offering to us this morning, to each and every one of us. Even if, especially if, like Martha, we're a bit nervous about what we might find, what we might smell, when we roll away the stone after the violent, volatile vortex of our if-onlys. To all of us here this morning, to each and every one of us, Jesus yells, come out! Unbind yourselves and go. May it be so for all of us. Amen. Lane is not feeling well, and Gail is not here, and they're the ones who usually scream down at me about prayer requests by the email. I got your text. Other, nothing by email. Are there joys, concerns, celebrations, prayer requests that people come with to worship that they would like held before the congregation? A celebration for Pam's younger sister who has come through knee replacement surgery and continued healing for her. Deb? Deb and Steve sold their home of 35 years and have now moved into an apartment, which is both a relief, I'm imagining, he's wiping his hands of the old house and the repairs it takes. Others. What is your prayer, Jeff? So on the 20th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, praying for wisdom and in the future, and not knowing what to pray for, but just lifting it up into the light of God. Others? As we join our hearts together in prayer, I have a few more. We pray for healing for Lou, for all those who are forced to stay in Mexico because of unjust immigration policies, for Lorraine as she continues her healing journey, and for the life-giving and transforming ministry of Family Promise, and all those who work to fulfill that promise, and all those on the prayer list this morning. Let's pray. O God, companion of our lives, we have come a long way on this Lenten journey. For so many of us, we know where the scriptural road will take us. We'll join the crowd waving palms and shouting Hosanna, and we'll walk triumphantly into Jerusalem proclaiming Jesus as King. We'll eat a supper meal with him and watch complicitly as he is taken from the garden and brought before authorities. We'll weep at the foot of the cross as he speaks words of love and forgiveness, and we'll wait at the tomb. We don't like this part of the journey, not one little bit, and we'd just as soon skip it and go right to Easter. But here we are. Here we are with Jesus' friend Lazarus, who's died and he's bound in a tomb for 4 days. Here we are with Mary and Martha, his sisters, who are confident that he could have been healed if only Jesus had come earlier. They thought Jesus could heal their brother, but they don't think that he can be raised from the dead. That is part of our problem, O God. We want to have confidence in the healing, restorative power of Jesus, but we can't escape our fear of death. We need to let go of our fear, because life in eternity is also God's promise, a home with God. We ask ourselves, can we, will we come out of the smelly dark tombs of our own making? Can we, will we risk believing in Jesus? Those are the hard questions only we can answer for ourselves. Those are the hard questions on this Lenten journey. Those are our questions that can't be answered without the trip to Jerusalem, through Good Friday and the cross, through the long dark day of Saturday and to the tomb. Oh God, please be with us on this journey. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, who would have us pray. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, Great is Your Faithfulness. Lazarus, come out, Jesus says. There's great comfort in that. I find great comfort in that, that I will be unbound and told to go. But there's also a challenge in that. God calls us out of those tombs for mission and ministry. And those if-onlys in our lives are transformed into signposts along the way, into guardrails on our journey toward bringing about God's realm. That's the challenge. As you leave here, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen.